Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Through the years, it has been my honor and privilege to work with churches in Kentucky, in Michigan, in Florida, in Georgia, and in Tennessee. The churches where my wife and I have worked have included some of the most dedicated Christians it has been my good fortune to know. We still keep in contact with many of these people and are grateful we have known so many good people. To use Paul's language in his letter to the Philippians, we thank God upon every remembrance of those good people and pray for their continued faithfulness in the Lord's kingdom. I can understand how any preacher can become close to the people with whom he works or has worked. But how could Paul say to the Colossians, whom he had never met, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Colossians 2:5. He not only was absent from them when he wrote the letter to the Colossians, he had always been absent from them. In the opening verse of this chapter, Paul wrote, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Colossians 2:1. Paul may have sent men like Epaphras to Colossae to plant the church in that city. As men and women were brought into the kingdom, Paul heard their names, learned about their dedication to the cause of Christ, and developed a deep love for them even though he had never met them. He knew some of the problems they were facing and wrote the Colossian letter to strengthen and to stabilize them. Even though he was not among them at the time of the writing, he was with them in spirit. He no doubt was thinking about them and praying for their growth in Christ. There is no mystery to this. The church where I labor has established two congregations in Russia, one in Moscow and one in Klin. The members at West Fayetteville pray for their brothers and sisters in Russia and in other places. Paul was thankful to God for the dedication of the Colossians. Earlier in the letter, he had written, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Colossians 1:3-5. As he thought about the Christians at Colossae, it brought joy to his heart. He rejoiced to see their order and steadfastness of their faith in Christ. The word order, toxin in Greek, means they were still marching in line for their great commander. The church may have lost a few members to the false teachers, but the church as a whole had formed an unbroken line to serve Jesus Christ. Paul also rejoiced when he learned of the steadfastness of the Colossians' faith in Christ. There was unquestionably a temptation for the Colossians to listen to the persuasive false teachers, but apparently the majority of them had not done so. Different Greek words are used in the following passages, but the message is clearly the same. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Ephesians 6:10-13. "Watch, stand fast in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. My friends, God's people are not to be moved about with every wind of doctrine. We are to take a stand on our Lord's word and do so without deviation. My friends, we thank you for listening today. May God continue to bless and keep you.